Good morning. Hey, good morning. That song been stuck in my head, ladies and gentlemen, since morning. So unfortunately for you, this is why I had to release it. Welcome to the Fuck Up Podcast with your host, Ubu. I am firstly grateful for your support, for your feedback. You people are amazeballs. Secondly, I have to apologize because this one's on me. It's not even like there's no excuse. I literally forgot to research an internet story and like guys, the story that we have for you, the conversation between Chipo and I is enough. I'm excited for this one, okay? I'm excited for each one. This could be because I'm such a conversationist. Is that a word? If it is not, it is now a word. But I'm so big on conversation. And the fact that this podcast is allowing me to, like, meet different people and talk to different people and experience different vibes. Like, that's a thing for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big thing for me. And it makes me really, really happy. So this week's story might be a trigger for some. So if you've got shaky relationship with your parents, a little bit of triggers in there. But it does cap off with really great lessons. So what's the thing that people say? Brain freeze, forget it. Let's get into it.
Hi, Chipo, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. How was your day?
It's been all right. Pretty long, but it's been an okay day.
Entrepreneur life, doing the entrepreneur things.
Hey, girl. Adulting, all of it just went. You have no choice but to keep going, because if you don't keep going, how are you going to pay the bills?
I know, right? This is why last week I was so drained. I didn't realize when I opened an account in Fiverr how much work that is.
Yeah.
So last week I was like, oh God.
It's a lot. There's a lot that goes into it. But were you able to finish?
I was, and then I finally realized the trick is to turn off custom orders, because like I would wake up and there's like an order and I'm like, where did you come from?
But that's good though, business is booming and that's good, isn't it? But I get you, where it's like it comes from nowhere and you're like, yo.
Exactly. I'm like, why didn't you message me first? Let's talk about your project first. And then I fit you into my schedule, because like now I have three orders. You are now the fourth one, and you're crunching into my time.
I get you. Boundaries are so important, because that's what helps you kind of just get your life a little bit in order. I wanted to say get your life together, but I don't know if such a thing exists. So
I don't. I don't think so.
I've just long accepted that. Nope, it's not there. It's not happening. Let's just manage what we can.
It is what it is. Well, thank you for agreeing to be a part of the Fuck Up Podcast. I am excited to hear the story. So let's jump into it. What happened? What's the story?
Okay. So what happened to me is I almost got disowned by my parents.
Whoa.
In 2016. To be fair, they had every right, because I switched degrees without letting them know. And I lied to them about it for about a year.
So wait. So you went to varsity. What were you originally studying?
Computer engineering.
Okay. And what happened? Did you hate it? Did you just hate it?
I hated it. It wasn't that I was bad at it. I was doing fine, which pissed them off even more, because they're like, if you were failing, we would have understood, but your grades were fine. Why did you do this? I switched to visual arts and visual communication design. So you can only imagine how that went.
I can already feel the energy, girl.
So you think an engineer is coming? They're like, Mama, I want to be an artist. Yeah, and I told them over email.
Oh, psst, girl.
Yeah.
So, how long were you into it before you decided, I don't like this?
2.5 years.
That's a long time.
That is a long time. That's why I said they had every right to be upset. And honestly, I'm not proud of what I did, but I'm using the word, I don't regret it very lightly, because at least now I've been able to make up for it. But at the time, it was messing with my mental health. It was messing with everything about me. I was not fine. I was breaking down. I was sick all the time, just trying to maintain those grades and trying to keep up. And I just knew that it's not what I wanted to do with my life.
So tell me something. Did you get in and study computer engineering because you wanted to, you applied for it, or you were told to apply for it?
I was pretty much told. Like, initially, before I even applied for varsity, I wanted to study something random, like investment management or something. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I just looked at them like, this looks good. But my dad was like, no, you did sciences. Like, do something with that. So he wrote down a list of things that I could choose from. And of all of them, there was medicine, there was architecture, there was all kinds of engineering, there was pharmacy. I was just like, yo. So initially I was about to study medicine in China. My mom was like, Jack, that's not happening. Nope. No. Not on my watch. I was just like, oh, okay. And then computer engineering was the next one. I was like, okay, sure, why not? This seems like the least boring of all of them. So, and it was fun for the meanwhile till it started getting serious, and I was just like, yeah. This is not what I want to do.
Okay, so 2.5 years later, you're like, no, thank you. I am done with this. And then you apply for something else. How long was that program?
That program was 3.5 years. But I got to remove 1.5 years. When did I changed in 2015, the end of 2015. I graduated at the beginning of 2018. So it was like, yeah, no, it was 3 years. It was about 2.5 years that I still had to do.
Okay. So how long was the one you were doing before? Did that not clash with the times?
The one I was doing before was supposed to be 4 years.
All right.
Or 4.5, depending on when you finish. So I was well on my way to like being done before I switched up. And yeah, that didn't go down well with my parents, obviously. And they were very upset, and I understood they had every right to be. And changing it wasn't something that I did easily. It wasn't something I enjoyed doing. It wasn't something else like, oh, I'm so proud of myself for doing this. But I just knew that it was something I needed to do if I was going to kind of just be happy with the life that I was going to live after.
So you sit down, you draft this email. I'm assuming you chose email because then it's less personal compared to a call. Yeah.
Well, at the time, my phone was broken, so I didn't have a phone, and I was not in the country, and they were getting very hectic on me about what's going on, where are your results, this. So that night, I just sent it to them, and then they went quiet, obviously because now they were dealing with the shock and the heartbreak that came with it, that I had done something that hectic.
Who is into computer engineering between your mom and your dad?
Neither. Both of them are accountants.
Well then, where then did it stem from that you needed to do computer engineering?
from them, and they just wanted me to have to take a degree or something that offered opportunities that would set me up, that wouldn't be as hard for me to find a job in. So to them, sciences made sense. I was forced to do sciences in high school. I didn't want to do them, but I did them anyway. And the problem was, I never spoke up when I didn't like something, and I was good at both the creative side and the sciences. And my mom even said at one point, she's like, we noticed that you were really good in, like, you know, the arts, and you're really good at sciences, so we wanted to push you in the direction of sciences, unless like, you could have asked me. But I was too scared to disappoint them, so I just kept going and going and going. And until I hit that breaking point of not wanting to do that anymore.
So once you sent the email, they went silent. How long did it take for them to respond?
My mom responded the next day with a very pain-filled, very angry email. My dad didn't say anything until I landed home about 2.5 weeks later. But after that email, my mom and I didn't talk until I landed back in South Africa.
And how did that conversation go when you finally landed and you guys had to, like, sit across from each other and have a conversation about it?
I first had it with my mom, and she went in on me, understandably. So she went in on me. She was mad. She was trying to understand where this was coming from, how people are so selfish, this is the wrong time to do this. Yeah. And then my dad then came home. He went in. Okay, I messed up my life, allowed myself to amount to nothing. You know, disappointed them. And my dad was like, you'll go back to Zimbabwe and you'll make a plan. It's my mom who actually fought for me to come back to school and finish my degree. But she did that begrudgingly because she still wasn't happy with me, and obviously my dad wasn't entirely happy with what she had decided. So it was very tense. Until I graduated, things were very, very tense between us.
So in that moment when your mom and your dad say, well, with what you've chosen, you're going to amount to nothing, did you find yourself filled with anxiety about your choice?
I was depressed. I was downright depressed. I'm questioning myself and wondering, was this worth it? What is going to happen? I was in a lot of pain because it hurt me to see that I'd hurt them that way. I knew I was going to hurt them. It's not like I said them like, yay! But there was a little bit of me just believed that it would work out. I don't know how, but I just felt like somehow it's going to work out, or I'm going to make this up to them. And they did let me come back to school, but I wasn't allowed to do any creative work. No blogging, no nothing. They see a single blog post or anything public of me on the internet, I'm coming back home. So I wasn't allowed to write. I wasn't allowed to do anything besides school.
How was that for you? Like, when you went back to school, obviously you want to, as a creative, you want to let out your creativity. You want to write, you want to do this, you want to do that. But now you are here with these terms and conditions. Did concentrating on school help you? Or did you write and just not publish?
Well, what happened was, what helped was I was in a degree that was challenging. I was doing a graphic design degree. Not just graphic design, it was graphic design and communication. So it was like a hybrid, it was a combination of the two. And I didn't have any experience in graphic design. So that gave me a challenge to really learn a new skill, grab onto it, and, you know, find another way to express my creativity. And I just took that opportunity of not being allowed to create any work publicly as just downtime to learn and to find myself and to heal, because there were a lot of things I was going through at the time. So I did onboard shame, because it did take a while for me to be able to create any other work after that. I wasn't able to write. I had writer's block. I did not feel enthusiastic about the idea of making anything. So it wasn't that hard to stay away from creating, because I didn't want to create anyway, because I just wasn't trying to be a problem for my parents. So that's how it went on, even over the 2 years, because even after, like, you know, I graduated, it took a while for me to get back into my creative flow. But also because I started working by then. I think that's the one thing that made up for, you know, the decision I took is that I started onboarding the finances for my responsibilities as well. Like, I think in the second semester of my third year. So, yeah.
Okay, so, like, you're still in school and you were starting to do, like, jobs and cover your own expenses completely or partly.
Yeah, I started freelancing. So, it was summer break at the time, which was about 3 months. So, in those 3 months, I started working. Earned enough money to get a laptop because I didn't have a laptop at the time. And then from there, I let my mom know. I was just like, look, I just need you to cover my fees for the semester, but everything else, accommodation, upkeep, I'm fine. And she was like, oh, okay. Then the next semester, I told her, I'm covering my fees. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll cover my fees. You don't need to send me anything. The last time my mom sent me money was in July 2017. From there, I would just continue to find ways to cover myself, to pay for my fees, to pay my rent, my upkeep, and everything. And it's not like it was the easiest thing because, you know, starting off freelancing, especially as a beginner with little to no experience, wasn't easy. But I guess everything that happened in the last 2 years really just gave me the edge to be like, bro, you need to do something. You need to make this worth it. You need to make all that pain and everything that you went through and this crazy movement, you need to make it worthwhile and worth it. Yeah.
So do you feel like the decision you made to say, I'm going to start freelancing, I'm going to work and cover my own expenses, was to relieve your parents and make you feel like I chose this path for myself, so I need to carry it and remove it from them because they never really wanted it for me anyway?
Most definitely. I mean, even before I changed degree, I'd been working on, I just want to be able to support myself. I want to be able to make some money for myself. But then after that, it became a priority for me where I was like, I need to start generating income because I don't want the weight of my decision to be on my parents. I made this decision. I want to see it through for myself as well. So that also did push me to be like, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And it was a hard road up. It was a hard road up, but being able to afford, you know, things, being able to cover my food, being able to pay my rent, being able to, you know, take care of myself, knowing that I'm not asking for money from home, meaning that I'd also given myself leverage now, because I'm like, now I'm sitting in the full weight of my decision. You can't say anything. You can't say anything to me. Not that I was trying to prove a point to them, but I was just like, I just wanted to show you that I wasn't trying to lump this on you and make it your responsibility at the same time.
Okay. So you graduate, and at that point, you're already taking care of yourself completely. Did you guys ever sit down to actually have another conversation for you to explain why you made the switch and for them to actually understand where you were coming from?
Mm-mm. We did not have that conversation. We did not have that conversation, just kind of continue. Because I know that there are times when mom would be like, are you sure you have money? This is, I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I told you that I was going to take responsibility for my actions, and I did. Now I am. Now I need you to let me. Mm-hmm. And it may not look like the road that you wanted to, but I was just like, I've ultimately done what you wanted me to do. Because then, back then, my mom was already egging me on, like, you know what? You are out of season. We shouldn't still be sending you money at the age of, I was like 23. You need to find a way to support yourself. And it's not like she was saying it to be mean, it's just that, you know, times were really hard back then as well. So she just said, bruh, you need to grow up. And I looked at her, I was just like, look, I've grown up. I'm doing it. And it wasn't easy because I'm living in a place where there are no jobs to get whatsoever that would be able to even cover what I'm doing. So I also had to push myself away from trying to prove myself to them or trying to, like, you know, get a stamp of approval from them, because I was just like, I don't think I'm ever going to get that. So I need to do it for myself. I need to be able to look at my life and be like, yo, you know what? I did this on my own terms. And it's hard. It has been hard. Where I'm like, you know, obviously a bailout would have been nice every now and then. But I was just like, from that day, my mom and I had that conversation where she told me that you need to support yourself. I was like, I'm not asking for money again. After my meeting, I'm not asking for money again. And I kept to that promise. I kept to it.
And I understand that. Because I think as we're growing up, we want to make our parents happy. We want that validation from them. And when it's taken from us, it feels like the rug has just been, what's that saying?
Yeah, the rug has been ripped from under our feet.
Thank you. There we go. And it's extremely painful because you want your parents to be happy. On graduation, you want them to be there and singing and ululating. Our African parents do that a lot. They will tell the entire neighborhood that you just graduated. And they have got this thing that they, it's like they know they've got this power that once you do something that they don't acknowledge, they've taken that away from you. And it's going to make you feel really horrible.
The funny thing is, like, I literally, by the time I got to my graduation, I didn't care. Not that I didn't care, I was just like, also because I was already working by then. So I was just like, okay, at least I've alleviated half the stress of what happens after graduation.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the fight to get there, I was just like, man, at least it's done. I'm like, you see, I graduated. There you go. But I didn't even tell them about it. I just told them, like, the day before that I was graduating, that, yo, because I also didn't want, I just wanted to show, I wanted to give them proof. And I didn't want them to spend money coming here. I was just like, nah, it's not. I'm like, let's not act like you guys are happy about this degree.
Mm.
No. I'm just like, we don't need that. They were a bit touched. They're like, well, I was just like, I literally said, I was like, I didn't think you'd even want to come. And they did take that a bit personally. They're like, what? And I was just like, well, yo, it's not like it's the degree that you would have wanted. They're like, yeah, but it was still you graduate. I'm like, well, at least I've graduated anyway. And when they asked what my plan was, I was like, you know, I'm going to stay around, raise money so that I can move somewhere else, do a master's. They weren't entirely happy with it, but there wasn't much they could say because they weren't funding me anymore. So for them, their best has just been, we're okay now because, you know, I'm a grown adult. They're grown adults. They're just like, at that point, they're just like, we just hope your life turns out for the better. But I can tell that they are relieved that I didn't fall on my face about this, because as much as they were disappointed, it's not like they wanted to see me fail.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, parents can be disappointed all they want, but at the end of the day, they really do want the best. They don't always know how to give you the best or how to support you, but they do want to see you. And so let me ask this question. Are you an only child or do you have siblings?
I have siblings. I have one sibling, a younger brother.
Okay, right. So you set this up for your younger brother. So right now, is he doing what he wants to do or is he in your shoes as well?
My brother, I always joke, I'm like, he's the stable one between the two of us, because my life was just all over the place, and he had his issues and everything like that, but, you know, generally, you know, he did well in school. He wanted to be an engineer, so he chose it on his own.
All right.
He got to fight for where he wanted to go for school. He ended up there, and he did really well. You know, he just had A, B, C kind of. It wasn't easy, obviously, because since I was still in school for like an extra two semesters, it was a little bit tricky with fees, but it was easier when I kind of just said, yo, look, I'm taking care of everything else, focus on him. So for him, he was fine. Obviously, my parents were looking at him like, bro, don't even try this, because we're not doing this again. So he graduated in time, he was happy. And also, he just wanted to see that I was okay. So, because we're pretty close. There's a 3-year age gap between us. But honestly, I actually even said it to the other day. I was just like, bro, we're twins. We just came 3 years later. So, the pressure was there for him. But he took it well. He took it like a champ. He finished his degree. And he's doing his PhD now. So, he's all right. He's okay. Obviously, he was mad at me at like why? He was mad that one, I did that, and two, I didn't tell him. But I was like, I'm not trying to incriminate you in my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I get in trouble, let it be that I get in trouble. And I'd rather you don't know a single thing, because this is much of a mess for you to deal with. So it was hard, and it made a complicated relationship with my parents even more complicated, because being an overachiever, a lot of my overachieving was stemmed in, okay, cool, when I do well, they are happy. But when you're not doing well, and they're not happy, it's just like, well, shit, what was all of that for? So that definitely forced me to ask myself, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? And I had to really move away and accept that, you know what, if I don't do this for myself, like if at the end of the day I don't look at what I've done, I'm like, I am proud, then it's for nothing again, because I'm always going to, I just realized, like, I'm always going to piss off my parents. They may not be entirely happy with what I've done, but I'm just like, would you rather piss them off and they know the real you, or do you want to keep pretending? And I had to get to where I was just like, you know what, let me continue to be the real me. And we deal with it like that, as opposed to me trying to scramble, because I could have scrambled. I could have scrambled and tried to be like, yeah, no, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm making up for you. I was just like, no, I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing my life for myself. And I think that was the easiest way to get freedom. It took a very drastic, sharp turn to be able to do that. But I'm just glad I kind of followed my faith in that. It was hard. It was hard. And especially the fact that it got delayed, because, you know, being one of, seeing your peers graduate when you are still in school, it took a toll on me for all. Graduation season was triggering for a couple of semesters. I'm not going to lie, because I sat there and I was just like, I should be done by now. I should be done by now. But the funny thing is, after it came, I was like, oh, okay, I'm done. That's it. Which is just funny, because it just shows how, you know, some things that you think are the be-all and end-all, once it's done, you're like, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. So that's really how it is, because now I see, sometimes I even forget when graduation season is here. I'm like, oh, right. Oh, yeah, no, okay, cool, good for you. But I'm glad it's a fuck-up I can look back on and be like, yeah, okay. At least we came back from it. Which is true for most mess-ups, is as hectic and it can be, you come back, or you try to. And when you have that little bit of determination that you are going to come back, I think it makes it a little bit easier to do so. I stand to be corrected, though.
No, I absolutely agree with it, because I too was expected to go as far as going to varsity, and the pressure was that I was supposed to be a doctor. So I also ended up doing sciences at A-level, hated it, failed. And then at some point I was like, I can't keep going down this route, because when I failed my A's, I said, okay, fine, I'm going to redo it. I'm going to repeat. And then my heart just wouldn't let me do it. I was like, I hate this stuff. I really do. And it was the same for me. I had an adult tell me that if I followed my dreams, because I said I wanted to study fashion, and they said, well, if that's the route you're going to take, you're going to end up in a musty, dusty, dark room in Harare town, CBD, and overlooking or hemming people's clothes. And I was like, ouch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was really painful, but in as much as it confused me to think, okay, I've refused to go in the direction that they want me to go in, and because I refused, people are like, we're not investing in you anymore, which left me very confused, because I was like, okay, so now what am I supposed to do? So even when you start chasing the things that you want, you're there questioning yourself as to, was this the right thing to do to begin with? But, like, life will always guide you in the right direction. And today I'm making money out of being a creative. I mean, you know, it's
it's nice to be in a place where you're doing things that you enjoy and actually cashing off. But this leads me into a conversation about our parents and not understanding that it's important to allow children to explore and do the things that they actually want.
That's true. Sorry, was I about to interrupt you?
No. You're not.
I think the tricky thing is the differences in our generation, especially with what our parents have grown through, where, you know, they switched from, okay, yeah, when you go to university, you get a job, yeah, then the economy crashed and you're like, survival. And you're like, let me try and get my child out of this. So they think, okay, what are the easiest things to help them get out? And they say, okay, you know, there's usually accounting, there's medicine, there's engineering, there's sciences, whatever. Anything else is frivolous and a waste of time. Especially because they got to see people in their time who didn't get to explore these gifts. They don't, like, you tell them now digital marketing, they look at you like, what is that? You know? Mm-hmm. They don't know that that's something that's there. Before, marketing was just, you know, a division. They don't know anything about influencer culture. They don't know anything about, you know, social media management. Things that have been carved out that have given us different ways to kind of find our own paths. So when you clash out with, when you get that survivalist kind of, you need to do something to be stable versus, you know, the dreamers that tend to be a lot in our generation, people who are trying to do it, it clashes. And then they revert to what they know best, you know, using their leverage of authority to get us to fall in line. And when you go against that, suddenly you're thrown out or you're belittled. And that causes a lot of trauma. And the thing is, like, I think my situation, had I gone to them and said, I want to change, I knew they would have said no. So going against that, knowing that I knew it was coming, as I was like, I'm going to be in trouble. Two, I've fallen from their graces. Three, now I really have to. Now, you know, it's easy to almost fall into a point of needing, wanting to prove yourself that, yeah, I did it. I'm going to show you. And personally for me, I had to let that go. Like, at some point, I don't want to say you have to let your parents go, but at some point, you have to find a way to wrestle those expectations of the people around you. Put them to a side and realize why you're doing it. Because you're going to keep trying to prove yourself to them. And if you're waiting for your stamp of validation from them, you're not going to even enjoy the journey that you're on. You know? You're not even going to enjoy the fact that, hey, I've actually done something. If that validation comes, great. But, and it could just be my personality, I'm just like, I'm not waiting for it anymore. They're proud of me, but, you know, there are times where they're like, no, you need to be in a different country, you need this, and I'm just like, I know this, but right now, I'm doing the best that I can. And I think that's for something. And I think that's what we're all trying to do, actually. Because our generation, you know, we see, you know, the conversations we have when we talk about our parental relationships, not all of them are fine and dandy. Some of them are non-existent, and some of them are, you know, sources of great trauma, and trying to navigate that while also being a functional human being and trying to find out what you're being happy. Then you throw in a pandemic. It's not easy at all. And trying to balance that with, you try to find your identity, because I think one thing that I had to, like, really ask myself is, I'm like, who am I outside of chasing my parents' validation? Who am I out of the well done, you're doing well, we're so proud of you? Not that I'm trying to disappoint them, but I'm like, is that all I want? And is that all I'm going to, you know, shape my life into being? Constantly doing everything to hear the well done, so proud of you. I'm like, what if it's something I don't want? When do I listen to what I want to do? Does it matter? Because people think that when you grow up, that thing comes in automatically. I'm like, no, you could be a 35-year-old child on the inside still trying to hear that well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard to accept that sometimes it might not come. But when you let that go, you might be opening yourself up to something even better, a life that you're actually happy living in. And then you can kind of present it to them. It might not always be easy. It's either, look, embrace me for the happy child I am. That you gave birth to, or at least let's just not bring up this topic, because because if we do, it's not going to work. And that's usually easier said than done.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yes.
It is. Definitely. The fact that I'm even speaking like that, I make it so I'm just like, but this is like 5 years in the making of getting to a point of, and there's still anxiety that comes. I still get anxious sometimes when I have family calls. I'm like, what are we going to talk about today? But I love them. I know that they probably would have wished I'd done things differently, but I'm just like, yeah, but it could have been a lot worse. And I'm glad it's not there, and I'm glad I'm not dealing with worse or avoiding worse. I'm glad I'm dealing with my best for now.
And I think the other thing that our parents failed to do is to accept that in as much as they brought us into this world, they don't get to tell us who we are. That's not in their power. And that's something they try to hold on to. And I talk about this thing that especially our mothers used to do, where they'll remind you that they carried you for 9 months and there's no, and they will take you out of this world. And I'm like, excuse me, ma'am. That's traumatizing, you know? That's very manipulative. Because what you're saying is, if you don't do what I want you to do, then I am essentially disowning you as my child. Nobody wants to hear that.
No one does. No one does. Because, you know, no matter how much we still, our relationships with our parents affect us. Those are the people who gave birth to us, who raised us. They're the first people, you know, they've contributed a large part of our personality. No one wants to hear, I don't want to be a part of you anymore because you've disappointed me. Doesn't make you know if you've done something wrong any better, but for it to be that point of, wow, oh, okay. So that there's actually, there's a limit to this. That's wild. And it was wild for me. There's still some things from that conversation I still internalized that I don't think I'm ever going to get over. As much as I love my family. And as much as, yeah, it was said in the moment, it was said out of hurt, I'm just like, yeah, but that hurt sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something a lot of people in our generation can relate to. Like, there are things that have been said out of pain, out of anger, out of disappointment that stick to us that we're still trying to fight off. And the wild thing is, if you try to bring it up to them, they may not even remember they said it.
Or they will, and they will refuse to acknowledge it. I read a tweet yesterday, and it was a screenshot rather of conversations between this girl and her mom. And this girl was basically telling the mom that you did this and you did that. You favored my sibling, but you always treated me terribly. You treated me like shit. And she accounted for every time that she remembered where she did something. I think the one time she was involved in an accident, she called the mom and the mom said to her, I'm tired of you. You're being reckless. And then the sibling had an accident, crashed into someone else's gate. She was drunk. And this woman left her home in her robe to go and check on this child and said she would pay for the people's gate and get it fixed. And I'm like, wow. What is that?
Wow. That is hectic.
It is. It is very hectic. And I think... Sorry.
I'm saying it's hectic when, you know, when you're not heard out or where your side of the story is completely disregarded. And that, I think that's something a lot of us can relate to. Which is wild, because it's like, okay, so if you're not going to teach me that there are people who can believe in me and actually have my side, where else am I supposed to learn that? If not from you, then who? And I think that's a battle a lot of us face, that we try to either mask up because, you know, it's not easy to unpack, you know, some of the complicated things from when you were a kid, because there's bills to be paid, there's lives to be lived, there's this and this. So it's like picking a struggle daily. It's like, okay, today I'm going to focus on this. Tomorrow, maybe I'll acknowledge this trauma, but you know what? That can wait. Well, we end up explaining on their behalf, which doesn't make it any easier. Which is just, this is one of those really hectically messed up things of our life. Like, when when does it click? When does, you know, when do you get time to unpack? And it's just, well, that the onus of how it goes is on us. Whether we choose to forgive or to move on is what will determine whether the relationship will be good, or if we choose to stick it to them and, you know, demand accountability, that could go wrong. And it's wild, but it's also quite sensational. It's quite amazing that even with that, we still somehow find a way to keep finding things that are worth it in this life, even with all that to deal with, even with all the trauma of going after what you want, going after what makes you happy, going after your own legacy, and maybe putting in hope that if we ever become parents, maybe we'll be able to rewrite that story.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that I often talk about. It's because sometimes it's your parents who hold you back, but then sometimes they'll go and fetch other relatives and pull them in into the equation. Now you've got a whole tribe of people who are watching you and saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, otherwise your life is going to be a mess. Now you've got like a bunch of toxic people around you, and they're so loud in your head, and they cloud your judgment, because now you can't see the way that you want to go anymore. There's so many voices that are saying, this is where you're supposed to go, and you know you hate that path, but there's so much noise. And separating yourself from toxic family members is essential, but hard.
It is. I stopped talking to my parents for a year until I started working. Because every time we got on the phone, it would be, what are you studying? I don't know what you're studying. You may have to do a second degree. Why did you mess your life up? And eventually I just stopped calling. I was like, nope, we're not doing that now. I'm not doing that. It was hard. I hated it. I would text me like, hope you're good, etc., etc. My mom held a grudge for me doing that, but then I explained to her afterwards, I was like, what did you want me to do when I'm trying to do my best, but anytime I'm being called, I'm being told this, 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 what would you have done if you were in my shoes? She never said anything, but she stopped asking about that. Now we talk like almost every weekend. It's a little bit mandatory, but I don't hate it. Like, I love talking to my family and stuff like that, but I know that they were affected by it, but I also explained, I was just like, I would leave those calls. It would happen on a Sunday. I'm like, I'd leave those calls depressed, and I wouldn't be able to focus for half the week. I had to silence the noise. And, you know, it's not something that other people may agree with, but I was just like, yo, until you're in that situation, God forbid you'll end up in that situation. You do what you're going to do. If you're going to put up with the call every week, good for you. I didn't have the mental fortitude for that. I was like, I'm just going to focus on getting my grades, finding work, and really just making what I went through in the last year worth it. Because if I start listening to that nonsense, you know, sometimes these motivational speakers, they have a point when they say they say silence the haters. I'm not going to say haters, but you got to silence the noise. The only way you can get what you want, you need to silence the noise at some point. Have your one, two people who will be there to be like, pull you on the arm and be like, hey, yo, what you're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But until they say, hey, yo, you keep going. Because if you don't, how else are you going to? How else are you going to get what you want? And not everyone's going to want it, especially when you come from people who never got the chance to do it. They don't know what that looks like. The only person who knows what your path looks like is you. Really and truly. And even if you don't know, you still keep going blindly, knowing, being led by, you know, the things that you want to do, the reasons why you're doing it, until you kind of land up at this place where you're like, oh, okay, this makes sense. Huh, okay, we keep going. But you got to silence the noise. I know I do that a lot. Now I'm just like, the moment I hear, like, I will, like, craft an idea, have, like, a couple of people that I'm like, I can trust your opinion. Does this make sense? It makes sense? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then when it's done, I'm like, okay, this is what's happening. Because it's hard, especially as a creative, trying to have that strength to push through something because your emotions are involved in it, your entire heart and soul are in it. So now when people come with all kinds of noise, it's very hard to support that and also try and explain yourself to other people. So I'm just always off the, you can explain yourself later, but for now, get something off the ground.
I agree with that. I think you and I actually work the same. I don't ever make announcements of my moves. In fact, it's sad that I actually don't talk to most of
my family. Like there is zero communication. The person that I actually speak to a lot, almost daily, is my older sister, but everybody else is whenever I think of them, I guess, and I'm like, hey, are you okay? And that's what about it. But I never talk about, oh, this is my plan, this is what I'm gonna do. I just sit and plan, and then when it's done, and if they see it, then they see it. If they don't, then that's that. The end. But it's terrible that we have to live lives like that.
Yeah, it is. It's hard that those are the decisions we have to make anyway. Especially when you see examples of other people who don't have to, and you're like, oh, wow, that can actually happen. It's hard. It is hard.
Well, so we've come to a point where you need to tell us what you would have told your younger self, three things you'd have told your younger self then, before you made this decision.
I would have told them, yo, you're going to go ahead with this, and your parents are going to roast the living daylights out of you. One. Two. That you're going to be okay. Because you're going to stay focused on what you're doing. You're going to have friends around you who are going to help you. And you're going to start working in the field that you wanted to. And three, I would have said, the moment you get that work, protect it with everything. And don't let anyone around you mess up your mental. Keep fighting for it because it's worth it. Those are the three things I would have told her. I would have told her to still do it. I don't understand. This is what's coming your way, though, but it gets better.
Yeah.
I
think I understand that. I still wouldn't. I don't think I would have done anything differently. I've been labeled the stubborn child in our family, and I'm fine with that. because in my stubbornness, I found my peace and I found my happiness. And I think at the end of the day, it's up to me what my life becomes. So if this is it, then absolutely great. Thank you so much for coming through and sharing this story. I don't think it was easy to actually talk about.
It was, I was a little bit nervous at first, but, it's not a story that I've kept secret. Like, almost everyone within my immediate circle knows, and that's because it's my friends and family, even random strangers even know, but I don't think I've ever shared it on, like, a platform like this. So I'm just like, woo! But I'm not... You know, I don't have anything to hide. I mean, it was 5 years ago. One, two, you know, there are lessons that I learned from it that, I don't know, if it helps someone out there, you know, or just, you know, let them know that, hey, maybe you think you fucked up in life, then you listen to this, and you're like, you know what, it ain't that bad.
It ain't that bad after all.
I still have hope.
Well, I'm hopeful that it lands on, you know, the right people. Is that the right? English is not my mother, guys. But I hope the right people hear it, because I do know that there's a lot of people who've gone to varsity and are stuck in things they don't enjoy at all. And they are depressed and wondering how to get out of it and what to do. I know a couple of people who have committed suicide because of this very thing, where their parents have chosen their path for them and they are unhappy. And they're like, you know what? If this is how I have to live, then I don't want to live. And they've committed suicide, which is very sad. This is something that could have been avoided, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's even funny that I've actually, like, guided a few people through, not told them to do it, because I'll never tell someone to go and do it. I'm like, nope, that's a decision you got to make by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can, try and tell them before. If that's not an option, really consider whether it's worth it. And then on the other side of it, you fight to make it worth it. Make it worth it, but don't do it for them. Do it for yourself. But it is hard. But it's a lot worth living in your freedom. What do they say? What do they say? Living in your truth. Yeah, that one.
Yes, it's truth. Girl, this English thing. Oh, God.
Yay. There's so many phrases these days. I'm like, yo, guys, just live. Huh?
You know, just do life.
If you say I'm living, then you're living. And freedom and truth and love and happy to do it. But yeah, it's a lot better than suffering in silence.
This is true. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I really appreciate it. But before we go, is there anything that you would like to promote?
Woo! Put on the spot. You know, this is a self-drag. That's a hectic self-drag because I'm still working on my website and I'm still working on my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So for now, I'll just let you know what. Follow me on Twitter or Instagram, which is at @cheapofaith_. To follow my updates on, I give updates on freelancing, content creation, remote work, etc. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. And I also have a newsletter called The Pop Notes. I release that every Thursday, and it's just a weekly reminder that you are doing the best you can with what you have, and it's okay to not be okay and rest. So yeah, those are a few things there.
So you forgot to tell people how they can subscribe to the Pop Notes.
Oh snap! The link is the link is usually on. It's a pinned tweet on my Twitter, but I can share the link with you. That works.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah. So either you find it on my Twitter or you'll find it on my Instagram bio. And I'll also share it with Ubu so that she can share it when she shares it as well.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming through. I will be catching up with you on the other side of life.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. And here's to the end of yet another great episode. And I don't even know how to cap this one off because it's a very tricky one. Not everybody is stubborn or has the guts to separate themselves from their family or their parents because they're choosing themselves. It's a very, very hard decision to make. And I think the one thing I can say to you is, first of all, YOLO, you only live once. Second of all, your happiness is very important. Because what often happens is when you choose to please other people, you're definitely going to live a life of resentment at some point. And you're going to resent either yourself or the people you are pleasing. So I don't quite see where you win when you don't choose yourself. So choose yourself. But I would love to continue this conversation with you. So if you've got anything you want to add, to subtract, to multiply, divide, you know where to catch me. I am on Twitter, Becoming Ubu. Hit me up. You can hit me up in the DMs. You can hit me up on the timeline. I will respond to you. Yes, please. But otherwise, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, if you would like to help this girl cop herself a new laptop, okay, you can go ahead and buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefuckup. So thank you in advance. Yes, yes. All right, awesome. I'll catch you guys in 2 weeks. Ciao.
Thank you for tuning into the Fuck Up Podcast. You can follow the host Ubu at Becoming Ubu on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and on LinkedIn. If you would like to support this podcast, feel free to buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefuckuppodcast.